Good morning. On a cold and maybe later today, snowy Tuesday morning in February, it's the 19th. This is The Morning Show. I'm one of your hosts, Phil Hoff, and joining me in the studio is Julie Calamine.
Good morning, Phil.
What a fun, full weekend we have. Past and coming up, Winter Carnival activities on both. We want to hear a little more about that later. We've got a great show coming up, but how did you celebrate Winter Carnival this weekend, Julie?
Well, unfortunately, I celebrated at home with the cold that you're hearing. So I haven't been out much over the weekend. However, I'm looking forward to the second weekend of Winter Carnival, Phil.
Well, that should be fun. But the first weekend, we went to the Parade of Lights. That was a lot of fun that evening, first kickoff. And then we had to go skinny skiing. So we went down to Farragut, the first time I've been there in a long time. I'd forgotten how nice the groomed trails are down at Farragut.
It is. It's wonderful. I get down there and so does hubby Daniel, and we just love it.
And this weekend, a whole bunch of activities, and we'll get to that when we do the calendar, but it's the highlight of the year for many. It's the Canine Keg Pool on Sunday. Yeah. Hopefully you recover by then.
Oh, I will have to. Cannot miss that event.
Well, let's take a look at the weather while we're talking about weekend and weekend past and coming up. We've got a full week two of activities this week also, which the weather could affect. Today, we have a 40 to 80% chance of snow. I guess that depends on where you live. A high of 25, and then tonight, snow is almost 100% chance. They say highly likely, low of 18 degrees. Tomorrow, the chance diminishes, but there's still snowflakes here on the forecast, about a 20% chance, a high of 31. Tomorrow night, 17, and then Thursday, mostly sunny, which is good because the picture that night is the full moon. I think Thursday's the full moon bike ride, too.
Oh, yes. And, you know, it's been kind of a fun combination of snow and sun because we get the snow, then we get a little sunny weather to enjoy it.
But with that sun, you get that radiant cooling, and it's going to drop to 3 degrees on Thursday night. So bundle up if you do go out. So we've got a great show this morning. We're going to be talking with two of the folks from the Leadership Sandpoint class, this year's class. We'll talk a little bit about what that means. And before I introduce them, I will say, in the case of full disclosure, I'm also a member of the class, but going to be letting the two folks here carry the weight of telling us mostly about what's going on with Leadership Sandpoint, what it's about, what the events and activities are coming up. Joining us in the studio this morning, we have Kari Sakamoto, president of Leadership Sandpoint, and also with locally Ting. So if you're interested in crazy fast fiber.
Thank you. Hi, Phil.
Kari's your person. And Cammy Murray, who's the Outreach and Development Coordinator in her day job for Kinnexu Land Trust, and then by night and weekend is leading Leadership Sandpoint. Kari is the current president of Leadership Sandpoint, class of 2018-2020, and Cammy is the vice president, 2018 and 2020. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So let's start by telling us a little bit about Leadership Sandpoint. What is that?
Well, Leadership Sandpoint is a program that just encourages people who are already leaders in the community to sort of grow their leadership skills and also to interact with other sort of sectors of the community to form deeper connections to help do more in Sandpoint.
Yeah, and it's really designed also to facilitate the development and growth of leaders for tomorrow in our area. And to be more us as leaders, to be more knowledgeable about our community so we can help it better.
Is it designed to help both leaders in the nonprofit sector and also the for-profit sector?
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely created for both, which that's the fun part because there's such a variety of students in the class from all different sectors, profit, nonprofit. I mean, there's a huge gamut, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it benefits the community through developing local leaders.
Yeah, and networking and just being able to work better together because we all know each other.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about yourselves, and Kari, we'll start with you, and how you show up in the community in ways that make you interested in Leadership Sandpoint.
Well, I grew up here, which actually I believe both Cammy and I did. Mm-hmm. And so it was a decision to do Leadership Sandpoint. You think, well, maybe I know everything about Sandpoint, but you really don't. The program really introduced us into different things that none of us ever knew, which is very exciting and that we can build from. So my history, besides growing up here, is I worked at Cold Water Creek for a long time. I used to produce national television commercials and documentaries and returned back home in 1997. And that's when I started working for Cold Water. And I also donate a lot of time to Pondere Arts Council, used to be on that board, just off and on now, kind of. But mostly I do Women Honoring Women, which we do the Life Achievement Award for Women of Wisdom each year for women who are 65 years and older. So I'm going to add a little plug if you want to put your nomination in, where you decide on March 1st who's that it's going to be. And it's always fun and inspiring learning from these women because they've done amazing things here. I also am part of Pondere Rotary. And gosh, there's probably more, but... But my passion itself is doing cowboy dressage and horseback riding, and that's kind of a little bit of me. Plus, I have a wonderful family, I should add that.
Well, yes, don't forget that part.
She's not up to much, Phil. She's sort of just sitting home all the time.
But I think it's a great example of how really dynamic people show up in their work world, in their private world, or their volunteer time, and often are combining the two of them. And those are the wholly rounded things that make people truly good leaders.
And I think there's a lot of us in Sandpoint who just believe in the community and want pieces kind of everything.
Mm-hmm. So Cammie, tell us your story.
So I'm also a Sandpoint kid. I graduated from Sandpoint High School and went away to college and graduate school. And when I was living in Manhattan, really realized that I'm an outside Idaho girl, and you can take the girl out of Idaho, but you can't take the Idaho out of the girl. And the girl's happier in Idaho. So I moved back, oh my goodness, about 6 years ago. From various places so that I could be playing outside a lot more. I actually have a master's degree in museum studies. So I worked as a substitute teacher, and I worked at the Bonner County Museum for about 3 years. And then I sort of got recruited by KLT to come help with their work, which is just a great, it's a great organization. I'm very proud of the work that we do and the fact that I get to go play outside for my job. It's a huge perk, you can't understate. But I still volunteer with the museum. I'm also the vice president of Sandpoint Rotaract, which was actually just chartered about 3 weeks ago. And that's the sort of young professionals branch of Rotary International. So it's aimed for our group. We are sort of recruiting members ages 21 to 35. And it's a little more flexible than traditional Rotary. We meet, you know, sort of every other week, once a month, depending on what we've got going on. But we're working right now on helping with the first annual family fun ride that will be part of CHAFE. So that'll just be a little 6 mile ride from City Beach to Dover. And we're really excited about that. And then what else do I do in the community?
I just want to say that is such a cool addition to CHAFE.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really fantastic. So, I'm also pretty engaged.
And a cool addition to Rotary. Does the Rotaract group have its own separate meetings or attend the local, one or more of the local chapters of Rotary?
Yeah, so we meet ourselves. So if there's any listeners out there who are interested in joining us, we generally meet the first and third Wednesdays of the month at 5:30 at Pondere Winery. And we have a glass of wine and we talk about what we're doing and we talk about opportunities that might be out there for service in our community. We won't be meeting tomorrow night. We'll talk a little more about why later. But we will be meeting the first Wednesday in March.
Yeah. So Rotary has a really cool thing. There's Interact, which is for high school students. Mm-hmm. There's Rotaract for the 20 somethings basically. And then there's the actual Rotary, and they all work together. And it is exciting that they've kind of developed all these different programs to benefit, what fits those ages and what they want to do.
Sure. And if a person were interested in one of the other programs through Rotary, do you just go to the Rotary website or do they have their own website?
So Rotaract, we don't have a website yet. We're still working on that. But you can email, I think it's sandpointrotaract@gmail.com.
Okay.
Very good. So when is the Jerry Act coming? I guess as more Rotarians get even older.
Yeah, exactly.
I say that with all due love and respect. The Rotary does a lot of fabulous things. They've been on the morning shows before and certainly will be before this year's CHAFE ride because they're the principal mover behind that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and my daughter's in Italy for a year because of Rotary. So on an exchange as a 16-year-old. So they do amazing things to expand the horizons of everybody.
Mm-hmm. So let's turn to Leadership Sandpoint and give us a little deeper dive into the background about Leadership Sandpoint. What are the big picture goals for the program?
Well, basically, the big picture goals are to really facilitate and develop leaders, like we had talked about, to improve Sandpoint and its community around us, and just to have a diverse community itself that explores various roles of leadership and involvement in our communities.
Yeah, I'm looking at what Kate sent to us right now.
Let's talk about that. Kate McAllister, mm-hmm. the president of the Chamber of Commerce. Tell us about how the Chamber is involved with the Leadership Sandpoint program.
So yeah, the Chamber of Sandpoint is the sort of organizational arm that facilitates Leadership Sandpoint. So they essentially do the selection of each class. And they help facilitate all the things that leadership does. So we're sort of a sub-program of the Chamber of Commerce.
And the selection is actually you have to apply, mm-hmm. and you have to be accepted into the program. So there's different criteria to accept that. And it's interesting because what we're finding out is the Chamber hasn't always owned it. So in the 1990s, we're not really sure who owned it then, but it started back then, and then the Chamber eventually took it over.
Mm-hmm. So it was an orphan for a while.
And that leads me to my question, which is, tell us a little bit about the history of Leadership Sandpoint, sort of how it began, and I'm also wondering, is it unique to Sandpoint?
So it's definitely not unique to Sandpoint. There's leadership, sort of similar programs all across the country, the world. Mel Dix actually loved telling us about his experience with the Denver Leadership Sandpoint program or leadership program. So,
yeah Mel Dix from the 219. He's a huge advocate of leadership of any sort. And so mm-hmm. he's and a huge supporter of Leadership Sandpoint in general. Him and his husband, son, Justin.
There are these programs elsewhere. And of course, here, you know, how did it get started here? Do you know?
We just found out that it actually started in the 1990s and we just happened to find that out because of an event that we're putting on, and people started saying, hey, well, I was a graduate of the program, and we're like, well, you're not on any list we have. Mm-hmm. And then we started finding these older lists that we're about.
So. We're going to talk about the events here later in the show. Mm-hmm. So as a teaser, though, one of them is going to involve the alumni of previous classes. Mm-hmm. How many, take a ballpark guess at how many alumni are out there?
We think there's probably about 200.
Wow.
So and of course, not all those people live in Sandpoint anymore. But in the community, there's a huge number of people who have been engaged in this program, all of whom I'm managing our RSVPs for our event. And, every time someone says no, they're like, I'm so sorry, I can't be there. This sounds great. You know, thanks for taking this on. Keep me in the loop. So I know people really want to be engaged as alumni. So,
so lots of alumni, that's interesting. And here you two are, you're in the class. Tell me again what class you are part of.
The Leadership Sandpoint 2018-2020 class.
Yeah, and it's a 2-year program. So mm-hmm. tell me a little bit more about that. 2 years, what's mm-hmm. going to happen in the 2-year process?
Mm-hmm. So the first year is basically 9 sessions. And once a month we meet and we go over different topics at each one. There's kind of an overall topic for the class. Mm-hmm. And so that happens September through May. And then the second year of the class, it's actually the prior class year, if that makes sense, who actually facilitates the class for the current class learning those 9 months. So each of those facilitators picks the subject for that class matter for that month, and then they put together the speakers, the whole agenda for it. It's pretty cool because you start as the person learning, and then you end up being the person who's teaching. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So the student becomes the teacher. And as we all know, we learn more from teaching something actually sometimes mm-hmm. than sitting behind the desk learning.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And this makes me, from the sound of it, the topics must be quite variable. It's not mm-hmm. a set curriculum, something like.
I think generally the topics for each session stay the same from year to year, just so that everyone's sort of getting a consistent look at the picture. But so I've actually got our topics here.
Yeah, let's roll through those and maybe pause and talk a little mm-hmm. bit about what each of them entail.
Yeah, so in September you start with sort of leadership skills and opportunities, and that's sort of more of a team building day. So we had Sol come up and do some leadership and sort of getting to know each other as a class. We all take the StrengthsFinder 2.0 quiz, which identifies your like top 5 traits as a leader. As a person. So some chances to talk about how we're going to work together as a group, and that's really valuable. Then in October, it's sort of the history of the area. It's cornerstones of Sandpoint, so museum and the downtown walking tour, sort of talking about how Sandpoint and how and why Sandpoint is the way it is.
Yeah, like geologically and the political history and things like that.
And who walks you through that?
We had members of the Historic Commission, so Steve Garvin and Cindy Peer led us.
And that part of the day was back in your stomping grounds, the
museum. Yeah, the museum. Heather Upton, who's the fantastic curator over there, walked us through their current exhibit. So that's a really wonderful one. Then in November, education in the arts. So we got to visit sort of all the schools, which I think a lot of people who aren't locals didn't realize how many schools we have in Sandpoint.
Well, even as a local, what each of those specific schools really brought to the community. That was interesting to learn more in detail.
And by that, do you mean all the public schools or?
Public, charter, Waldorf.
Nice.
And the Music Conservatory, which fits into that nice intermix between education and the arts.
Yep. Yeah, that was an interesting tour for sure, because I hadn't seen that whole place in action, which it's fascinating.
Yeah, I think that's one of the portals, going to some of the places that you are semi-familiar with, but you don't really know the workings of. And so even if you've lived here a long time or all your life, going inside the Music Conservatory or the Waldorf School or the metal shop at Sandpoint High School is a really eye-opening experience.
Yeah.
Right. So as part of a leadership curriculum, that's wonderful to really learn about your city and just really know, as Phil said, we assume a lot of things about schools and organizations, but not visiting them, we miss things.
Right. Exposure makes a big difference.
Yes.
Yeah. And then in December is actually sort of the most intense of the classes. So I'm sure many of you out there have been to the Cinco de Mayo fundraiser at Trinity every year. And that's actually put on by Leadership Sandpoint. And that's sort of the focus of our work, is a fundraiser. And each class chooses an organization or organizations that they are going to fundraise for over the course of their time as a class. And that's sort of the capstone fundraising event. So in the December class day, we actually invite organizations to come present to our class, and then from there we choose which organization we would like to fundraise for. So it's definitely a very emotionally intense day. You don't really realize how much need is out there. I mean, even as a person who's been in the nonprofit sector my entire career, you don't really realize how much need is out there until you have 10 organizations that work for people in Sandpoint sit down in front of you and be like, this is what we do and here's why we do it. So that it's
intense,
very intense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But also very valuable. I mean, I think all of us, regardless of whether or not we picked a specific organization to fundraise for as a class, I think all of us are pretty interested in working with some of the other organizations.
Yeah, it really opened it up. And it was very hard to choose, but it also exposed a lot of us to areas that we might not have volunteered for before that we will now.
And the full range of really how involved nonprofits are into everyday life here.
It's huge.
Yeah. And then January, we did sustainability. So we actually got to go to the Sawmill in Laclede, which if you have not been to the Sawmill in Laclede, it is amazing. I was blown away how just incredible, especially with my background in history. I was just blown away by how much the lumber industry has changed in the last 100 years. I mean, it went from being, not that it's still not a dangerous profession, but the actual act of sawing a log went from being something where people routinely lost limbs to a thing where the people don't really interact with the log, and it's so much safer, so much more efficient, just really remarkable to get to see that.
It's practically a zero waste situation too. Everything's used.
Yeah. So, and then we got to go also to the Taylor and Sons Motors building, which is an amazing
building. That was an incredible building.
Again, like pretty much zero waste. I didn't realize that they burn their waste oil from oil changes to heat their entire building. So just some really cool sustainability stuff that's happening happening in Sandpoint. Then tomorrow actually is our class day. We're going to do law enforcement tomorrow, which I don't know if anybody else is excited about the drug dogs. I'm excited to meet the drug dogs.
The canines.
So that's going to be, I think, really fun. In March, we'll do economic drivers. In April, we'll do health and wellness. And then in May, we'll do tourism and natural resources. So that's sort of the general topics of leadership.
If I'm understanding it correctly, the general categories remain the same, but you might have different...
We might have a different way of doing the class a little bit and different speakers. And and then after each class, we actually do evaluations so we can improve upon what was there that day. So we remember it, because if we try to do that at the end of our class will never remember. So that's kind of interesting to see. It'll be interesting to look at everybody's evaluations and see where we can improve and make it better. And that's what they've done for years to keep it going and keeping it strong.
And so obviously there's been things that you've learned that you've found very enjoyable. Were you expecting that? What motivated each of you to decide to participate in Sandpoint Leadership?
I love everything about Sandpoint. And I've always heard that you learn so much more about Sandpoint through this program. And it's true. There's no doubt at all that. And so that's what intrigued me, because I'm a continual learner. And I just wanted to learn more and see how I can contribute more to our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always talk about the fact that Sandpoint, it takes a village to raise a child. And in Sandpoint, that's a pretty literal village. You know,
totally.
I can't tell you how many times people are like, oh, you're Jill and Alex's daughter. I'm like, yes. But for me, you know, now as sort of a professional, I'm really wanting to give back to the village that raised me. And this seemed to me like a really, really good way to give back to the community and to engage more with the remarkable community that helped raise me. So,
which leads me to a question about your current class. Is it mainly folks that are already community leaders? Is it folks that are considering growing in leadership? Tell us a bit about the current class here.
Mm-hmm. I'd say it's both of those.
Yeah.
Current leaders, I mean, we have people from 20-something to, you know, much older in the class.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Hey, I'm with you, Phil. Don't, you know. But so it's number one, it's a great generational networking of really getting to know each other and work together and see how each other goes. But it's really a variety. And there's people from, it's interesting because they're all from different areas. So like financial, banking, accounting, investments, there's people in insurance, telecommunications, nonprofits, from the arts, from conservancy stuff, from civic stuff, technology, aviation, recreation, marketing and advertising, health, food industry, local government. That's everybody. Mm-hmm. And so it's cool because everybody has a different perspective from where they've come from. And we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. It's a huge just exposure again.
One of the great values is, as much as learning some of the leadership skills, and we haven't even talked about the nonprofit board training yet, we should, and learning more about Sandpoint, some of the hidden things you might not find on your own, there's just this opportunity to build a relationship base with so many other dynamic people in the community.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I'm not the only one, but those relationships have definitely helped in where I work with Ting, you know, or I've helped them with something. And that's really exciting because they're connections we would never have made any other way.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, you probably don't bump into folks from that many professions and fields ever.
Yeah. Right. And be able to speak specifically about things.
About their work. How large is this class?
There's 17.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cammie, tell us something about what motivated you to get involved.
You know, I am a human being who I've always sort of like wanted to be a leader. I'm an oldest child, which probably tells you more about me than it should. So I've always just been really motivated to want to be a leader and to make a difference. We read a book as a child called Miss Rumphius, which if you've never read this children's book, go find a copy of it. But it's about a school teacher who, when she retires, she goes around the world planting lupin flowers because she wants to leave the world a better place than she found it, which I love lupin flowers. They're one of my favorites. And I love Miss Rumphius. So I was always raised sort of with this ethic of stewardship and leaving the world better than you found it. And this to me seemed like a really good way to specifically leave my community that I love better than I found it. So
for next year's class, who's eligible, who might be interested, and how would they sign up?
Anybody's eligible. Yeah. You just have to get, usually I think the paperwork comes out, was it July, August?
Yeah, the actual application was due August 20th this year, and there is a recommendation process. So if you're interested, the best way to be asked to apply or to get the paperwork is to find someone you know who's a member of leadership, who was a membership leader was a member of Leadership Sandpoint and get them to nominate you or to put a recommendation in for you. There are about 150 of them in the city of Sandpoint, so you should have no problem finding them.
Plus 17 more after this year.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So that's probably the easiest way. But the paperwork's available through the Chamber of Commerce, and so you could probably call over there at some point in July and get that paperwork from them.
Yeah, and you besides the paperwork you have to fill out, you have to get a couple recommendations. Mm-hmm. It's a whole, a regular application
process. It's a job application.
Exactly. Yep.
Good. Well, I think it's time we take a short music break. If you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY, Pondere, listener-supported radio for North Idaho. And this morning on the morning show, our guests are Kari Sakamoto and Cami Murray from Leadership Sandpoint and from their professions and many other endeavors in the community that make them leaders already. So carrying through the leadership theme, I'm surprised we've never played this song, but Julie and I were looking at what we should do this morning and come to find out, we've never the Shangri-Las, leader of the pack. Is that you peeling out that motorcycle, Julie?
Vroom, vroom. Who's the leader of our pack, Phil?
It would be Susie.
I guess so.
Station manager.
That's right.
Well, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this is the morning show for Tuesday, February 19th. We're talking with some folks from Leadership Sandpoint, and we're going to delve back into that topic a little bit here with where we left off. We were going through the learnings part, and then we'll get to the doings part. And the last part of the learnings part is the board training. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the board training was added to the program to basically further facilitate community involvement as far as a class. And really, it's to teach people how to be a board member, what it's involved. And so hopefully people aren't afraid to join a board and help out.
And another big part of that is how to find effective boards and then how to really ask the right questions before joining a board. I think especially in our community, which is so small, there's a tendency to just be like, oh, I want to be on this board, or, oh, you're my friend, come join this board. And so I'm really finding that this is an incredibly valuable training just about how to be selective and how to really know what you're getting yourself into, which I think is very important for effective governance.
And how to have the best board you possibly can to fit all the little pieces that you need to put together for your cause.
So to be an effective board member and help the organization become more effective.
Absolutely.
Win-win.
So, yeah, win-win-win. The community wins, too. So we touched briefly on, but describe to us a little bit about the other role of the leadership class beyond the learnings of what's going on at Sandpoint and the board trainings, also are the projects that the class chooses to do. And so tell us a bit about that component, and then we'll delve into the events.
So part of the component of this whole program is to give back to the community also. So as Cami had mentioned earlier, we pick out a selection of 10 different nonprofits, and we listen to each one and we vote on one or more that we're going to support, which is a very hard, intense day. Actually, it's a hard, intense couple weeks because you never decide that same day. And so part of that is raising money for those, like, especially for projects. So for those nonprofits. So one of the things that we've decided to do, there's the Cinco de Mayo that Cami mentioned that we will go into a little bit further. But we also decided to add an event, which is our alumni event. There's never been an alumni event yet. People are very excited about it. Part of it is because leaders, what we found is whenever you met somebody from Leadership Sandpoint, they would proudly say, oh, I graduated from Leadership Sandpoint. I'm class of 2002. You know, they're very proud of what they do and that networking. So we decided to start this alumni event.
Yeah, so aside from events, we also do some more hands-on projects. So we're very excited. One of our members is organizing a trail work day with Idaho Trails Association. It's going to be really fun for our class to be able to get out and to help work on trails. A lot of us are very passionate about the outdoors, so we're really excited to do that. We also might still be working with Kinderhaven to help with some work, some actual like work that they need done in their facilities. So yeah, there's a lot of opportunity for each class to not only raise funds and to give back in that way, but also to give back in actual service time, which I think a lot of us feel it can be more valuable. Certainly you get more warm fuzzies from getting to go actually do something than putting some money in a jar, I always think.
Yeah, and I think it's great having the balance of things mm-hmm. because that's what our community needs is that balance, time and funds.
We see so many wonderful things going on in this community. They do take people to show up and volunteer, and they take people to show up and volunteer to drink beer, too.
Yep. Yes,
they do. One of those opportunities is coming along tomorrow night, I understand.
Yeah. Yes. So tomorrow night's event is our alumni fundraiser. It's going to be at the 219, starting at about 5:30. So if you are an alumni of Leadership Sandpoint and you haven't received an invitation, we would love to see you there to come. Actually, we're drinking a cocktail called the Fold and Throw?
Fold and Throw.
The Fold and Throw.
It's based on the paper airplane cocktail, mm-hmm. if any of you know what that is. Yeah. It is delicious.
It's fantastic. Oh, my goodness.
Fold and throw. Yeah.
Fold and throw.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. So tomorrow we're actually going to be raising funds for an amazing organization here in our community, NAMI Far North, which is our local chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And they're an incredible organization. We were all very, very moved by their presentation to us. And when they came to us, they asked and they said that just $1,000 would help cover their entire marketing budget for a year. So our goal is to raise at minimum $1,000 to help support their marketing budget for the upcoming year so that they can continue to do the work that they do. We do already have a $500 match. So come out tomorrow night and, you know, make a donation, have a cocktail, or, you know, just go onto NAMI's website and make a donation directly to them because they're just an incredible organization. Their website is namifarnorth.org. And so just make a donation to them for all the work they do.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, NAMI is amazing. I mean, we all know they deal with mental health issues, but we know Sandpoint in general and the U.S. have issues with depression and things. So what I found interesting is that actually Idaho is ranked 5th in the U.S. for suicide deaths. So NAMI's crisis line, their helpline, their family support lines are huge to be able to help people like that who might be going through that or their families because it's tough. I think all of us have known someone that... Mm-hmm. That we've experienced that, sadly, at least once.
And NAMI works in conjunction with the county and the state. Yes, they're nonprofit, mm-hmm. but they augment the whatever services we already have going.
Their services touch the lives of so many people mm-hmm. in the community.
Mm-hmm. They do.
And just in case you or someone you know is in crisis, their crisis line is open from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday, and it's open 24 hours Sundays and all holidays, and you can reach them at 208-946-5595, and they always have licensed mental health professionals on the other end of that phone. And the incredible thing about those licensed mental health professionals who are answering that phone number is they're making minimum wage. They're not making their usual service rates. And so supporting this organization, it's just so important. And just, I know as a person who's been in crisis, this service is incredible. So, Just think about it when you're making your donations.
We are lucky to have NAMI in this community, so we'll hope that folks will come out and support mm-hmm. that. Now, tomorrow is actually a special day at the 219, so you may have additional guests because
today.
Yeah. Today is February 19th.
219.
It's the 219, and tomorrow everyone will be celebrating NAMI. Got it. Now remember, everyone, I've got a cold and I've had cough syrup this morning.
It's a fun filled week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. On Wednesday, on mm-hmm. our event, yeah. So there are half price bottles of wine, mm-hmm. there's half price cocktails, mm-hmm. Proceeds, they're Mel from the 219 is donating more of those proceeds to us. Mm-hmm. And also Justin from Trinity has donated appetizers for mm-hmm. everyone.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, fun event. Day. Mm-hmm. Easy way to support a great cause.
Yeah, and there will be live music with Chuck Mills and Tom Dubendorfer are playing tomorrow. It's their usual wind down Wednesday. So sort of the same stuff that's usually going on. Yeah. It's going to be really fun. It's always good to go have a cocktail on a Wednesday afternoon. So, yeah.
Good. And will the entire current class be there? Will you all be there for us to meet you?
Yes, our current class will be there. We will all have our name tags on. I'm going to send an email to our class to remind everyone of that this afternoon, since I'm our communications human. So yes, we will all be easily identifiable as current members of Leadership Standpoint.
Yeah, and we also encourage past graduates to wear their name tags too, because we've all gotten them.
But just to be clear, anyone can come down and help support a cause.
Anyone can come down.
And it seems to me that if you've been considering this organization, considering Sandpoint Leadership, this would be a great way to meet the class, the folks from the current class and alumni, and might really give
find
a person energy and motivation.
Absolutely. If you're interested in learning more, it's a great opportunity to do that.
Yep.
So let's look down the horizon a little bit. It's not as far away as it seems, despite the snow and all. May is creeping right up on us. Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned Cinco de Mayo a couple times. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about what that event's about.
So Cinco de Mayo started actually when Justin Dick was in the Leadership Sandpoint class, who owns Trinity. And he started the event there. And it's continued since on Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of May. Mm-hmm. And basically, the class has picked a organization who they will support through this event. Mm-hmm. We're not going to say what the class is or what the organization is, because please come to our 219 event and we're going to make the reveal that night.
So stay tuned. By Thursday, it'll be on our social media. So stay tuned if you want to know what organization we're going to support through our Cinco de Mayo fundraising. But that's a great event. So it will be Sunday, May 5th. I think we're looking at starting about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Justin donates the food and the cocktails, so it's all just by donation. You can come, have some food, have a drink. We're going to have some amazing silent auction items available. They're all sort of experience-based.
All experiences, which is fun. Mm-hmm. Not just a basket.
Yeah.
You get an experience.
Yeah, so there's going to be some really fun stuff that you can bid on. We're also, of course, doing our annual raffle. And this year we're raffling off a season's pass at Schweitzer. We're raffling off 10 days at a condo in Hawaii.
On Kona.
Mm-hmm, on Kona. And then we're raffling off the traditional wheelbarrow full of booze. Huh. So those tickets are going to be available starting tomorrow night at the 219 fundraiser. They're $5 each or 5 for 20. And you have a chance to win one of three great prizes. And then the class will have the tickets available. So if you know someone who's currently engaged in Leadership Standpoint, or you meet people who are currently engaged in Leadership Standpoint tomorrow night, you can buy your raffle tickets from any of us. So,
or you can always message through our Facebook page also.
Mm-hmm. So there's multiple ways to benefit the yet-to-be-named beneficiary, soon-to-be-named beneficiary.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
So, and just to be clear, the raffle proceeds will go to the... the beneficiary.
Yes.
Yep. All of them go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Neat. Yeah. And location again for Cinco de Mayo?
Cinco de Mayo is on the lawn at Trinity.
Nice. Very nice. Mm-hmm. We are a town of raffles, Phil, but this is a pretty special raffle.
This one's a big one every year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If many people have attended past years, and I think the understated or unstated goal of each class is to try to exceed the previous classes' experiences. Yes. So expectations get ratcheted up every year.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going on my calendar today.
Yeah, it's a really fun event. I think we already have the City of Sandpoint committed. They've typically brought the ATV and the drunk goggles, and they set up a little driving course on the beach, and so you can put on the drunk goggles or the weed goggles and try and drive the ATV. I have a fantastic video of Eric Grace doing it last year on my phone. So that's always really fun. We'll have some live music, plus food and beverages. And so for sure, get it on your calendar now. It's a great way to celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
And a reason to look forward to spring. Mm-hmm. Well, we have one more event. Well, sort of an event, the Trail Project for the ITA. Mm-hmm. That's coming later in the summer.
We think that's going to be the first week of June, but we don't have a set date yet. So stay tuned.
But come to our event tomorrow night, and the date will be revealed, and anybody can come join us. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's a day event with Idaho Trails Association helping on a, I would assume, a trail somewhere in the community or near the community that folks will be able to
cleaning
access.
Cleaning up and making it more available for people to use.
There's some hope that it becomes sustainable so that each year's class more or less adopts this particular trail.
Right. And I think the idea, too, is to make it somewhat an alumni event, too. So whichever the alumni want to join in, too, they're more than welcome.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds like a fun event. Yeah.
So before we wrap up here, we've got just a few minutes left. I think it'd be great to share a little bit with the listeners something that you've learned about yourself or about Sandpoint that you might not have otherwise. How has this experience so far changed you?
And we're going to include you on this, Phil.
I'll go last.
All right.
Well, that's a hard one because there's been a lot of learnings, which surprised me being from here. But I think more than anything, it's endeared me to this community even that much more. What we have, who the people are that are here, and why we're all here, and how we all want to benefit this community, and just meeting new people. I mean, it's just been, there's a lot of learnings, but I love that part because it gives us more passion to do more for the community.
Mm-hmm. So I will also say that I, coming from having grown up here, I've been surprised by how much I've learned. And one of the things I'm very fortunate in my class, in our class, two of the gentlemen I graduated from high school with are in our class, as well as the younger sister of one of my good friends from high school. And so it's been really wonderful. I always talk about one of the fun things about growing up is getting to form new relationships with people you've known for a long time, to really get to know them as human beings rather than whatever you thought about them. And so I've really, really loved this opportunity to get to know these people who I've known most of my life in new and different ways, and then to get to see their passions and the things they're really interested in, the things they want to do in the community. I'm always blown away by the quality of humans that are raised by Sandpoint High School and the school system here in Bonner County. We get a lot of flack, and I'm consistently amazed by the people that get turned out of our community. My graduating class has an astronaut and people who are very high up in the Air Force, rocket scientists, literal rocket scientists. So it's really amazing to see these, just what Sandpoint can do. And this has been a really incredible opportunity to see all the things Sandpoint does on so many different levels.
And life is about bonds. And this really is a bonding experience. It'll just make all of us so much better.
Mm-hmm. And help you work together better as leaders in the community. Absolutely. Because you'll know one another.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and have fun doing it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Phil.
So I'll start there, but I want to pick up on what Cammie just said. Your high school graduating class has, let me see if I'm counting right, 4 members of this year's Leadership Sandpoint?
There's 3 of us. Molly graduated. Okay. Couple years after.
And okay. 16 would be college. 2012.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
3 members. And a number of other years from Sandpoint High School represented in the leadership class. And while there is a great range of ages, that median or that average is pretty low. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm really encouraged by the youthful exuberance in the Leadership Sandpoint class. And these are younger adults who are already started in their careers and demonstrating leadership capacity in whatever business or organization or personal endeavors, in some cases all 3 that they represent. And it really makes me feel very excited about the future of Sandpoint and Bonner County and our region, knowing that it's in good hands.
Yes, and I think we might have a perception that kids need to leave Sandpoint in order to succeed, and it's talked about from time to time, and here's an example where our graduates are returning and becoming leaders. So,
and I would say it's good to go get some perspective, but I think bringing that perspective back, I mean, I feel so fortunate that I got to go see a lot of the world, and that made me love Sandpoint even more. I mean,
yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, that's why I came back, because you realized what you really had here that you didn't realize when you were younger, and you want to take care of it.
Realizing that my parents were smarter than I thought they were. I was definitely a kid who was like, I hate this town, I'm never coming back. And then, 5 years down the road, I was like, well, maybe mom and dad knew what they were doing.
That's always a good learning.
Yes, it is. I know that feeling. I vowed never to come back either.
Well, thank you both for coming into the studio this morning. If you're just tuning in, you can listen to a podcast of this show later on with Cammie and Kari from Leadership Sandpoint. We're going to be segueing to our community calendar events. We've got a song coming up. In looking at possible leadership songs for this morning, this one kept popping up in everybody's lists of songs about leadership. It's a Michael Jackson song, Man in the Mirror. And I'd like to just read a brief snippet of the lyrics to put it into some perspective. I'm starting with the man in the mirror, and I'm asking him to change his ways, and no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change.
Perfect.